Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
I'm interested in upgrading my 28.8 kilobaud internet connection to a 1.5 megabit fiber optic T1 line. Will you be able to provide an IP router that's compatible with my token ring Ethernet LAN configuration?
Can I have some money now?
TBTL!
www.this and www.that. Let's www.explain it.
Well, what are you?
I'm a chicken lady! Can I get you a beer? Would you like to drink out of the toilet?
A beer.
Okay, show yourself.
Cuckoo-ka-cha!
Cuckoo-ka-cha!
Has anyone in this family ever even seen a chicken?
Well, there's that fine line between, you know, have showing emotion and being a hot dog.
I just wanted people to like me more.
And this is your master plan.
Huh? Oh, no. Now, this is a whole other awesome thing. This is just a goof. Later, Tater.
All right. Hello. Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of TBTL, a show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Wanted to add a few comments regarding your mole situation.
Handled. It's current status. Happy to report. Everything's great here at the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham. Whoa. Bellingham, Washington, that is. The Bay City. Everybody on this show, by that I mean me and Andrew, are battling still colds. And cold and flu season. And,
there's a Hidden Valley Ranch party in my mouth.
The implications of that drop are disgusting if you think about it. But yeah, trying to overcome some non-productive coughing and other things. But that's okay. We got it, everybody. We're ready to do this. Let's get into episode 3031 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
We've met a new fan of the program. Her name is Mary. And she loves to jump on the TBTL Slack channel. She loves the newsletter videos. But has she ever actually listened to an episode of TBTL?
The answer, sadly, is not yes.
That's right. We are going to talk to possibly our only TBTL fan who is both very engaged with the product but never actually listens to the podcast. Mary, the self-described TBTL virgin, will be joining us later on in the show. Also, on Tuesday, Disney rolled out Disney Plus, this new streaming service that's been getting all kinds of hype.
It was literally a major disaster.
They've got a Star Wars universe TV show called The Mandalorian, which will be streaming, and of course a bunch of Disney movies, and they're having some real problems getting the thing off the ground. So we'll talk about that, plus emails and V-mails. And my friend, a.k.a. the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. He is also, in the words of one John Travolta,
please welcome the wickedly talented.
He is wickedly talented, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. He's Andrew Walsh. Hello, my friend.
My goodness, Luke. Moments before we started recording, I took a quick little pistachio break, and I was just eating a few pistachios here at my desk. One of them hit me the wrong way, and I started coughing a little bit. I told you, let's just get rolling. I'm sure I'll be done coughing by the time it's my turn to talk. I've spent the past, how long have you been talking? About 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Felt like 5 minutes and 2 seconds, but 3 minutes and 30 seconds later, I am just now recovering from an epic coughing fit. I think I'm okay. I think we can move on. I have now talked for about 30 seconds myself. Felt more like 45. But man, I was a little bit worried. I was starting to panic a little bit. I'm like, what if you toss to me and I just can't talk? What if I just cough into the microphone?
Well, I don't think you were probably even hearing me at the top of the show because you were dealing with your own medical issues. But I had a whole issue myself. I started to say something and my voice got all choked up because of what I'm dealing with, which sounds like it's actually very minor compared to your thing. But once again, we find ourselves in a situation where neither one of us is really physically fit to host and co-host this show. I guess this now falls to listener Mary. And by what, by that, I mean non-listener Mary.
Right, right.
Well, the person who likes our show but has actually never listened to it. How did Mary get on your radar, and who are we about to talk to, and what is happening?
Yeah, and also, by the way, that's maybe I'm a little nervous. Like, Mary has never listened to the show before, but we're going to have her on the show in a couple of minutes. She'll experience it first by being on it. But then you know that she's going to go back, and her first experience listening to the show will be listening to this open. And so far, all she's heard is you coughing up Hidden Valley Ranch and me talking about how I can't get my S together. But anyway, here's...
So, a typical top of the show for us.
Exactly. So, actually, Mary, this is...
I mean, honestly, not
what you're missing.
Not the worst beginning to the show we've even had in the last week.
Absolutely. And it's only Wednesday. Mary jumped onto my radar on the TBTL Slack page, which you can sign up for if you go to tbtl.net. You'll find a link there. But it must have been, I think it was 2 weeks ago, in the newsletter. I know it was 2 weeks ago because the Hey Dummies video featured me and Genevieve that week. And I must have mentioned something about dreams. I don't remember what I was writing about, but, you know, dream talk is never that far away from me. So
far
I mentioned
from your...
Yeah, so I mentioned something about dreams. And then I see this post from a woman named Mary that says... just, you know, posting this generally in the general thread. Sorry to admit that I'm still a virgin of the TBTL podcast, but I do read the weekly newsletter. And now this real-life reality, play it with... Whoa, hold on. And now this real-life reality, play it with other people in this real-life game. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't understand that sentence. But she posted a picture of a... It looks like a board game called When I Dream. And she thought that that was... relevant content, and I think she said something like, also, I loved the Hey Dummies video. So I jumped in here and I said, hey, thanks for sharing this game, which obviously I will get and play with you, Luke, don't worry. But sure. I said, how is it that you are here on the Slack channel interacting with us, watching the videos, reading the newsletter, and you've never even heard the damn show before? And she said, I don't know. I don't know why I started getting these emails. She said she has a theory, which I'll let her explain when we get her on the air later, but she just started apparently receiving our emails, but instead of unsubscribing, actually started reading them. And the most amazing thing to me is must have read one of my pleas for people to join the Slack channel. And she's like, sure, yeah, I'll join the Slack channel. Sounds good. I don't know what this podcast is, but sure, I'll hang out with the listeners there, which I absolutely adore.
Well, that's a testament to how much time and effort you put into the newsletters, that they're actually very readable, they're very good content, and that apparently the Slack channel is a fun community, whether or not you're up on everything, and also that our video, we're devilishly handsome men who should be featured in videos that are part of the newsletter. I think that all three of those elements are working for us, and that's how we caught Mary in our web.
Yeah, although I will say even the newsletters are usually chock-a-block with inside jokes and references. Usually when we get like a new editor of the newsletter, we've been working, of course, with Kiki Lolo for a while now. But before her, we had the Chupacabra. And before him, we had the Stewbot. And before him, we had Andy Cruz. So, you know, every time I have a new person who's kind of like editing the email and then sending it out, I will have to put notes in there. Like, by the way, I didn't forget the T on spreadsheet. That's just a word we use. And like, I'm always like caveating, like, this is not a typo. This is not a typo. To the point now where when Chip or Christina are about to correct something, they have to check with me. They're like, is this just a typo or is this some joke that makes no sense to anybody else? And sometimes it is just a typo. But again, so somehow Mary is just kind of cutting through all of that.
Well, we're going to find out from her what it is about all those assets, those other digital assets that she likes, and if she'll ever consider listening to the program on a regular basis, considering both of the hosts have extreme vocal issues and are only barely getting through the first 9 minutes and 9 seconds of the show. Seems like as good a time as any for me to thank some donors of the day. Yeah, we're doing it kind of early, Andrew.
I like it.
Just figured, let's mix it up. Let's keep... Not unlike the Seahawks, let's just keep reinventing our offensive strategy so as to keep the other teams guessing. And by the other teams, I mean everybody at Gimlet Media.
Right.
They're like,
they're trying
they just
to
have a war room where they study TVTL. And they're like, they always do the donors of the day 40 minutes in. And it's like, yeah, you game planned for the wrong podcast today, Bloomberg.
Oh, my God. What if Mary's a plant? What if she's a spy? You know, I just got done reading that Ronan Farrow book, which is all about people pretending that they are somebody who they are not to infiltrate people's personal lives. It's actually very dark. I don't mean to make light of that. But what if Mary is doing that? What if she works for Gimlet?
Well, I guess we're just going to have to see when we talk to her. But I'm going to definitely be I'm going to have my antenna up. I'm going to be carefully listening for her. If I hear Starley Kine in the background or who else?
Alex
any of the
Bloomberg.
Other. If I hear Jonathan Goldstein.
PJ Vogt.
Alex Bloomberg. Even if I hear Alex Baldwin doing Here's the Thing. Any Gimlet related sounds, I'm gonna know right away that that Mary is actually a double agent. So let's thank these donors of the day right now. Let's thank Jillian Williamson from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Thanks for supporting the show all the way from up there in Calgary, home of the Calgary Cannons. One time Mariner, I want to say single A team, although they actually may have been double A. Grew up as a kid, always monitoring the comings and goings of the Calgary Cannons.
I love also, that. You were Hold on. So the donors can wait, Luke. This is our time. You were following closely to like...
Are you throwing Gimlet off the set right now?
You never
Do we want to make them think that we often interrupt the donor message with boring tangents that disrespect their donation situation?
I did not know that as a... I mean, I knew that you were very much into Mariners baseball as a young boy, but as a young boy, you were following the comings and goings of the lower-level minor league teams?
As I'm wont to do, I probably slightly overstated it.
Okay.
I tried to buy the Calgary Cannons.
Famously. Just
like you would hear... I mean, I'll tell you what, Andrew. The Mariners are terrible now, but they've always been terrible. And so in the years of my childhood, as I would listen to either the games themselves or the Hot Stove League or Sportsline with Wayne Cody, there was just only so much Mariner-related content, and then they'd have to get into like how the Calgary Cannons were doing. So I would hear – I didn't have like I didn't watch their games on TV or listen to them on the radio. I just knew – I would know if the Calgary Cannons had won on a particular night because it would get announced as part of the larger conversation about the Mariners.
I see. I still love that, though. That's cool.
Yeah. Sometimes the Hot Stove League – which I want to say was like Tuesday nights. I think maybe it was Steve Rudman would host it on Cairo Radio, believe it or not, 7:10 a.m. that is. They would just be sitting there talking about baseball during the off season, and I would even listen to that sometimes. So
let me just tell you though that they were a Triple A team, by the way, from 85 to 2002, Pacific Coast League.
Yep. Does it list any of the like notable players that came through the Calgary Cannon organization?
Let me just skip right to the 90s part of this.
Was Kim Kerr one of them from Seattle, Washington?
The 1994 season saw a brief appearance by none other than A-Rod.
Yes.
I'm not seeing...
How about Brian Priest of Seattle, Washington? Did he get a cup of coffee?
I'm not seeing...
No, I'm just thanking donors, but pretending like they might have played for the Calgary Cannons. What about Brandon Sparks?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
What about Marissa Uterberg of Cleveland, Ohio?
She's on there. Yep. Played 1995.
Yeah, catcher.
Like. Yep.
Rare switch-hitting catcher. Could throw both righty and lefty. So that was kind of her claim to fame. And then, of course... The most famous Calgary Cannon of all time, Kelly Welch of Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Who can forget?
I know.
Kelly, Marissa, Brandon, Brian, Kim, and Jillian. Thank you so much for supporting TBTL. Thank you for donating and keeping this show in business. No matter how many times Gimlet Media tries to acquire us, we say no. We have a business model, and it's called Jillian, Kim, Brian, Brandon, Marissa, Kelly, and the rest of the Calgary Cannons.
Go Cannons!
The real question is talking about the Calgary Cannons a big enough part of the TBTL world that it's now canon?
Oh, wow. Canon with one N. Or actually,
is it canon? Are the Cannons canon?
Right. Okay, good. Show title. I'll take it.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Well, let's see if we can catch up with Mary, the TBTL virgin. Her words. Mm-hmm. I want to mention that. And then we'll talk about Disney Plus and all the rest of it. Stay with us. It's TBTL. Be great if when we finally call Mary, she's like, oh, Elvis Costello, the noted painter, not familiar with his singing.
I'm afraid I don't get your joke, Luke.
Well, she thinks that TBTL is a newsletter, not a podcast.
Gotcha. Okay,
so it'd be
yes.
funny if she experienced the world, if everybody that she was into, she was not into the thing that was whatever they're
right.
allegedly known for. Also, the part of the problem with that joke is that in some way... insinuates that we are as famous for podcasting as Elvis Costello is for singing. And that is, of course, where the logic of that joke really takes a hit.
But also, were you just kind of taking a flyer there, or is Elvis Costello known for having kind of a side gig of being a painter? Because if so, I didn't
totally
know that.
Just guessing.
Okay.
No, I was trying to think of a hobby he might have that outside of his singing, and for some reason I went with painting or maybe assembling vintage eyeglasses.
Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you this. Did I use the phrase... we'll get to Mary in a second, and then she can go back and listen to all this wonderful content.
You hang on, Mary.
Did I use take a flyer correctly there? It came into my brain,
yeah.
And I said it, although I don't know that I used it correctly.
I think in a broad definition of it, yes, because here's the context. I think of taking a flyer is usually a sports thing. And it's like if you draft somebody who you don't really know, like they maybe – you're kind of rolling the dice. You're taking a flyer on them. You're like they have a huge upside, but they also have a huge downside. In fact, now let's just – you know, it's kind of dark, but like your beloved Cleveland Browns, in a way they took a flyer on Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kareem Hunt's a person who's really good at football but has off-field issues. And so that's the context I think of it as you're kind of taking a shot. So in that way, yeah, I was just guessing / making up / lying – that mm-hmm. Elvis Costello dabbles in painting. But the problem is that probably sent your brain into thinking, oh, do I not know that Elvis Costello is also a painter? And I was just picking up a random thing he might be into.
Right. And actually, what my brain was doing was trying to figure out, is there another person named Elvis Costello who is a famous painter that I don't know about? What I was trying to say was this.
Take a flyer.
Which is, according to the dictionary, a North American term that means take a chance.
Take a flyer.
I am going to now name people, this is off the top of my head, who are named Elvis, who are not Elvis Presley.
Okay.
Of course, you've got Elvis Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. The bad boy of public radio.
The bad boy of public radio. You have Elvis Gerbach. One time, I believe, Michigan and then later Kansas City Chief quarterback. Elvis Gerbach. Now, with Elvis Gerbach, I believe that's like, I don't think his parents were like, although he's young enough that it's possible. I don't even know if he was named so much for Elvis as with the last name Gerbach. His parents may have been from a place where Elvis was just like being named Rick.
Everybody's named Elvis.
Right. Face it, kid, it's Elvis Town. Mm-hmm. Also, Elvis Duran is a morning radio host who's very popular. Also, Elvis Costello is a noted painter.
Who is a musician? Isn't there like an Elvis? Like, who's that musician who?
Oh yeah, there's Elvez.
Elvez, right.
Mm-hmm. Elvira, if you mm-hmm. mispronounce it, mm-hmm. could sound like
getting
Elvis.
Close. Yep. It's a big
Elvish
tent.
Is the language spoken right. by some of the people in Loder,
including Grimly the Battle Troll.
Yep, famously.
Uh-huh, famously.
Do you think that Mary the TBTL Virgin, having now we assume she is listening to this episode now that it's out in the world, she's wherever she is in the, you know, wherever she does things like listens to podcasts, she's doing it. Do you think she's even made it to the part where she starts talking, or did she have to bail when I started naming Elvis?
Did she just fast forward to her part? She's like, geez, Louise, where's my part?
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess. But not right now because we're calling her in real time. So this is going to be our first talking to her.
Yeah, let's just
days from now,
this.
She can get back to us.
It's worth noting that we are calling her a half hour late from the original time that I set up
with
her.
That story checks out.
15 minutes late from the rescheduled time that I set up with her about 45 minutes ago.
What did Nora McInerney say last right. time she was on? You're lucky I like you because
right.
I value promptness.
Yes.
So we don't know what Mary the TBTL virgin, how she feels about promptness, but I think we're about to find out.
All right, let me give her a ring here.
Mary.
Hello, Mary. This is Andrew, and we got Luke on the line here, too. We are calling you from TBTL.
It's very nice to hear your voice on the phone as opposed to my iPad.
Hi, Mary. This is Luke from TBTL. How are you?
Hi, Luke. I'm well, and it's nice to hear your voice in the real life, too.
Where are you at?
I am in Phoenix, Arizona, where when I last checked, the temperature was like 75 degrees. But my daughter lives in Seattle, and my son is in Australia right now. But when he's not in Australia, he's in Portland. So the kids, when they moved to the rainy Pacific Northwest, I said, you know, it's going to rain there all the time. And they each said, 18 years of sunshine, we will take rain the rest of our lives.
I am in the exact opposite position. Can I move in with you in Phoenix? I know it's early in our relationship, but I need to get some sunshine.
Yes, absolutely. Open door.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, we were talking. I explained to the listeners and to Luke how you kind of came onto my radar on the Slack channel. But how in the world is it that you are a person who is kind of so involved in the TBTL verse yet has literally never listened to this show?
I don't really understand that, but. But it's been really fun. Your newsletter is phenomenal. My daughter went to school at University of Washington, and I just thought maybe you were friends of hers. And I asked her if she knew you, and she knows she never heard of you in her life. So I don't know. I cannot explain the magic in the universe that would have populated my email feed with the TBTL newsletter, but it's a great newsletter because it has everything in it. It has a nice welcome introduction. I still don't know if it's too beautiful to live or too beautiful to live, as in this is a live broadcast from Seattle, Washington. And I don't understand what TBTL really even means. But then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. And then you have this very friendly text, you know, where you talk about amazing, wonderful people and you introduce us to new things. And then there's the expanding Uncle Phil and the hot dog listening to the radio.
Mary, I love that expanding Uncle Phil so much.
Mary, I cannot even explain to you the joy you are filling Andrew with right now because he sweats over all this stuff. And like the idea that as standalone content, you find it to be this readable is so great.
Well, I'm an editor and writer, so I don't suffer poorly written things fools easily. But I love this. I look forward to it. I love the 10 of the week where you actually bring people in to like introduce them just randomly off the street because I don't know a stranger, which is a little bit of a problem. And then the songs of the week. Oh my gosh, I keep asking my kids, please send me new music. And they just ignore that all the time. But then you give me this list Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with songs that I can click the link and listen to. And it just makes me so happy. But money savers. I mean, you have covered the financial realm, the friend realm, the writing realm, the speaking realm, the dream realm, mm-hmm. the involving people on the tens on the Slack, which who names a workspace Slack? I mean, that's pretty funny. But the money savers, I look at this and I laugh every month because half of them, I don't even know what they are. 8 Sleep. I get $150 off my purchase to pay for 8 people to come sleep with me. What is that?
You nailed it. That's what it is. It's on the fringes of legality right there. No, that's a match. That's a mattress
over
company.
The fringe.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Mary, I'm still okay. I want to just, first of all, your enthusiasm is infectious. I think Phenomenal GIFs is maybe going to be the name of this episode of the show, because that's just one of the greatest things that's ever been uttered. But I'm still trying to understand. So basically, you started getting the newsletter in your email inbox for reasons that you don't understand. But somehow it started popping into your inbox. That was your first. That was the first time you knew something called TBTL existed?
Yes.
Okay. And then
literally,
and then you,
yeah, when I saw the banner TBTL, I had to Google TBTL. It's a radio show in Seattle, and I thought, oh, my daughter probably forwarded this to me. And then I asked her, and she doesn't know you at all. So
no, most people
but
don't.
But then you signed up on the Slack channel, which, by the way, I wish we could take credit for the name Slack. That's just like a that's a pre-existing piece of software that a lot of companies use. You know, for people within the company to talk to each other. But I never thought of it, but you're right. Slack is a really funny name for that. I never put that together till you said that. But so you joined the Slack channel. Are you talking to the other fans of the show? Are you interacting with them? And do you feel like, what's your impression of them so far?
Yeah, every now and then. Oh my gosh, it's like this big pool of very friendly people where everything is happy and joyous and nobody's sick and everybody's just witnessing one another with just joy. Like, what adventure do you have to offer to me today? And how can we make this better? How can we expand ourselves? And the only reason I found you on Slack is because I am an editor for the No Crime in Rhyming magazine on Medium.com. And we have, we editors have a Slack thing. So my only two Slack affiliations are you guys and Medium.com, No Crime in Rhyming.
Okay. Gotcha.
So people should go check that out. If they want to see some of the stuff that you've written and edited, they can go to the Medium page that's called No Crime in Rhyming.
Only if they want to, but I am not – this is not an ask. I'm not an asker. I just put it out there. If it comes your way much the same way TBTL came to me, then call it magic and have fun.
Well, let me answer some questions that you have. It is too beautiful to live. I don't know if Luke has cleared that up already, but it's too beautiful to live. It started as a radio show, but we've been podcasting for, what, like 9 years now, right, Luke?
As a just podcast, yeah. Well, we stopped, I think it was like 2009, we stopped being a radio show. And we became just a podcast. So, yeah, like a decade-ish.
Okay, so about a decade. Do you have any other questions for us about, like, what this show is and what goes on?
Well, how much is it like the newsletter? Because I'm willing to lose my virginity and listen to the podcast if it is, you know, similar. If what I'm going to get is as good as what I get with the newsletter.
Well, I have some bad news there, Mayor. I say this, I have nothing to do with the newsletter other than, you know, I get it in my inbox, and Andrew is the person who writes it, puts all the links in. Occasionally I'll be in a video on there, but the newsletter is really pretty much Andrew's project. And what I will tell you is it is the absolute best of TBTL because it is edited. It's just the right amount of information. It's not more information than you need. It's not less. The podcast TBTL is, in every way that the newsletter is focused and funny and sharp, the podcast is unfocused, meandering, and bloated. So I don't know if those are things you look for in a broadcast, but that's mostly what you'll find 5 days a week on the podcast side of things.
As an editor, that must appeal to you.
Well, it actually does. How nice to have a matching sort of positive and negative deal going on here. I consider myself a citizen scientist, and one of the things I'm working on right now is my theory of resistivity, which is how everything happens. And I do have a son-in-law who is a real bona fide scientist who works at the Allen Institute up there where you guys live.
And that's an amazing operation that they run. They generate all this data and science around brain function, and then they put it up online for free for everybody to use in their research.
They're brilliant people, and this young man is an absolutely brilliant young man. And when I posted the game When I Dream on the Slack channel, it was actually a Christmas present for him, but then they told me they don't want to do Christmas this year, so it's just sitting on my desk. It's up for grabs. But it looks like a very interesting game, because one of the things that we talk about is really what's happening in your brain when you dream. Where does that light come from in your head that illuminates the movies of your dreams? Where does it come from? Does it come from the salad you eat? I don't know.
Do you ever wonder about the dialogue? Like, how much of the dialogue in a dream is actually happening? Let's say, Mary, that I had a dream that you and I were talking, and you're saying stuff, and I'm responding, and I'm saying stuff, and you're responding. And do you think my brain is inventing actual dialogue between us, or it's just assuming there was the dialogue? You know what I'm saying? Like, you think my brain is writing a movie script for us to recite to each other, or is it something less formed than that?
It's less formed than that, and it relates to the way that this dark matter stuff circulates. And before I start sounding absolutely off the hook crazy, I really do believe that it has something to do with electricity. It has something to do with chemistry, and it has something to do with gravity. And then it has something to do with a fourth force that nobody knows about yet. But the fourth
force, that's the dark matter part.
Well, yeah, people call it dark matter, but I don't call it dark matter. I call it whatever it is. It's something that expands. Because think about it. Let's go back to that big friendly pool where all your listeners are, or and all your readers are. What we do with one another when we interact is we expand. We expand ourselves. We expand our mind. We expand our capabilities. We expand our creativity. There's something about expansion that hasn't been caught yet. The scientists are studying how things heat up and how things cool down, but they don't really study expansion. And yes, they talk about the expansion of the universe and what disaster might happen if it expands beyond itself. But I think expansion is absolutely fascinating. And I try to expand a little bit like Uncle Phil in the GIF every day.
That's why that spoke to you.
That's why.
Because that's your whole theory. That's like total synchronicity for you, that you've been thinking about this expansion thing. And there you look in the newsletter and there's Uncle Phil expanding. I mean, that must have been like, wow, the universe is telling me something.
Absolutely. I knew that magic would happen on this call. You guys are very kind to the virgins, the TBTL virgins.
We are. I keep clarifying to the listeners that you are calling yourself that. We usually do not try to throw around such terminology with our listeners. We try to keep it very proper. But if you are willing to run with that analogy or that metaphor, by all means. Here's another thing. Speaking about expansion, Mary, would you consider expanding? Are you considering expanding into being a listener to the podcast? Or is that a whole, I don't know, kind of another time commitment that you don't really have time for?
Well, every day I wake up and I write my list of things to do. And I'm very fortunate that I'm very busy and I have 24 active cases, either writing or editing projects. And then I have twice that in terms of other things that I do, like just be a person and take out the trash, but that doesn't usually make it on my list. And then I write in a journal about what I actually do. And the two lists don't look a thing alike, much like your newsletter and yourself. So, yes, absolutely. I plan to lose my virginity, but I have another question for you. I don't even know what time the podcast is on and if that even matters, because you probably put the podcast, you do the podcast like we're doing right now, and then it exists forever in the space-time continuum, and I can tap into it whenever I want to. If I want to listen to it like a bedtime story, or if I want to listen to it when as a wake-up story. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I take it you don't have any other podcasts that you listen to. Is that correct?
No, but I have listened to them in the past. There's one excellent podcast on publishing that Laura and Zach do. And I listen to that one because it relates directly to the business that I do. But other than that, no, I'm kind of looking for the fun podcast to add to my already very full expanding life.
Oh, good.
But this sounds like it might be the one.
This might be the one. Now, there's a lot of content here. Just be warned of that. We do this Monday through Friday. But yeah, the show's been going on. It started as a radio show in 2008. So you have quite a bit of catching up to do. Every episode has been, you know, is findable online. Our website is tbtl.net, and you can listen right on your computer. But also you can, you know, download a podcast app, which might be how you listen to that other one, and just search for TBTL. And every day at some point around midday, you will get you'll just open up that app, and there will be a new episode waiting for you right there. So that's how it works.
Perfect. Now, thank you for explaining that.
Mm-hmm. Mary, can I ask you a question? Do you have your to-do list for today anywhere near you?
Yes, I do. In fact, I'm writing notes on the back of it.
Can you just read me what your to-do list for today is?
Morning chores. Take a shower. Write a thank you note to Michelle. Write a letter to Diane. Wish Debbie a happy birthday. Filing. Expenses. Fix problem with computer. Oh, my gosh, that's a big one.
What's going on?
Yeah, maybe we can help with that. What's up?
Oh, no. The people at Desert Data Recovery Systems are trying to see if it can fix its brain injury.
Oh, no. That sounds serious.
Yeah, it's a
clean refrigerator. What was the have you done the refrigerator yet?
No, but there's some cauliflower in there that really needs to go away.
Oh,
that's what I was wondering
smell.
If you're dread. I always, there's like when I clean the refrigerator, there's always the thing in there that I'm just dreading dealing with because it's just like especially unpleasant. So for you, it's the cauliflower?
Yeah, today's cauliflower, but George Carlin had a hilarious comic skit on that, cleaning out the fridge. What is this? Is it cake? Is it meat? Is it meat cake? That always makes me laugh. but I have to tell you what I've been laughing about over the course of last week is that I think the soap is broken. That is so funny.
Oh,
I'm so sorry to do that. But I found that only when reading the newsletter on the skit that you put on the newsletter where you're talking to Genevieve, who's beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, she is. To catch everybody up on that, we were talking about times we've pranked people on the Hey Dummies video, and Genevieve talked about the time that she pranked me by covering the bar of soap shower with a clear nail polish on April Fool's Day. And we are not a pranky family, so I did not see this coming. And I was in the shower just trying to work up a lather for quite some time, and not able to do it. And then I was like clawing at the soap in there, and then I apparently came out of the bathroom and told Genevieve that I think the soap is broken, which was a detail that I had forgotten.
It's so funny. That is hilarious.
Yeah. No, that was good. Hey, can I ask you a personal question here? This is not on my list of things to do today, which is to ask about your personal life. But I am curious. You offered a moment ago that your kids want to do Christmas different this year. What's going on with that? And is that a conversation that you guys have been having? Or only because, you know, I'm a child of parents as well, and I moved away across the country, and so we've had to have conversations about how we're going to handle Christmas and stuff. So I'm just wondering how that's all going.
So I think that Christ was a real person, but he may not have been what people call the Messiah. I think he was like the first quantum physicist, and I have a very different take on Christmas. Yes, I put up all the red and green stuff because that was what was done for me, and I grew up Catholic. But my kids, I wanted them to have an expanded mind, and I raised them in an Episcopal school, and I just let them kind of navigate whatever they believe, and they turned out just fine. But my daughter tends to be on the anti-capitalist side.
Uh-huh.
So spending money, gift giving is nice, but gift giving is expanded when you give it as a surprise, not as it's Christmas, can I have my $100 gift certificate or whatever gift, you know, whatever it is the nephews want.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at how to do things differently. And years ago, I gave everybody a Christmas present by buying a chicken for somebody in Africa or buying honeybees. They have those catalogs where you can give a gift in honor of someone. And I got so trashed by doing that. It just was not,
Your kids expressed, or the people, they expressed a little disappointment in the world being bettered, but it's a gift to them. Like, they didn't like that as a gift?
Yeah, because I don't know that maybe they would have not, they would have given a goat as opposed to the honeybee or the chicken. I really don't know, but I never did that again. And that's kind of where I want to go back and do something like mm-hmm. that. But I think we should have like surprise Christmas, and the kids should be able to show up in May and say, you know, Happy Christmas, Mom. I'm here for a little while to go have an adventure with you. I would that's love nice. That.
I think this year, Mary, you tell all the kids, and especially the nieces and nephews and the little ones, your gift is that I donated to TBTL on your in your on your behalf. And boy, they'll be praying for a goat somewhere in Africa. Oh, you want to see real disappointment in their eyes. Tell them you're supporting a podcast they've never heard of.
I think that's wow. the best present of all. That's the best gift of all.
Mary, I have to say, first of all, it has been so delightful talking to you. You are just an absolute gem. I love your energy. I want to tap into it because you seem like you're positive and excited about the world. And I think a default setting that I have, at least about this show, because we've been doing it for so long and because of my wiring, is to always talk about how bad the show is or nobody should listen to the show. And I like your positivity. I want to try to kind of like I want to try to be a little bit more positive. That being said, I kind of also really love the idea of you being someone who's part of the TBTL community but doesn't actually listen to the show. So I'm not trying to tell you not to listen to the podcast, but it's like, you know, we have thousands of people who listen to the podcast. We're very fortunate about that, and we appreciate it so much. We have one person who loves the show but has never heard it, and that's you. And I almost don't want to change that dynamic.
You know what? I love this. Hi, Mary. Nice to meet you. Don't listen to the show, but please contribute and give Christmas presents too.
That's all.
No. Yep.
That's the sales pitch. That's how we've gotten every donation. You don't know this because you don't listen to the show, Mary, but every person who donates has been on the show as a guest. This is always how it starts. This is the grift.
I think that's exactly right. Well, I love the newsletter so much that I'd be happy not to listen to your show.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like, we don't want to disappoint you. Like, obviously you know, but I mean, listen, I often get a lot of response to the newsletter, but usually those responses are, please take me off your list. So the fact that you're actually like interested in the newsletter and you're excited about it, it means the world to me, but it also worries me that you would listen to the podcast and then be kind of disappointed. Like, you have an idea. It's kind of like, you know, you have this perfect idea of the podcast in your head right now, and I feel like it can only go downhill from there.
So I'll tell you another very short story about losing my other virginity. Last December, it's different. I have a friend who has cancer, and she decided to, and she's Jewish, and she decided to have a high holy days party, and she went to the dispensary and got all this medical marijuana and then invited us all to partake in it with her at a party at her house. And I'd never tried marijuana before, ever, not edible and not smoke. So I decided that it's time to lose my marijuana virginity at the high holidays party at her house, and in solidarity with my friend who's dying of cancer. So I took a couple hits of the heirloom marijuana, the marijuana that was grown from heirloom seeds, and I was holding it, and all I could think about was, this tastes exactly like smoke hot chocolate. I felt like I had a head full of hot chocolate smoke. And I don't know how high the rest of the people at the party were, but they all thought that was absolutely hilariously funny. And now when we talk about losing virginity to marijuana, it's just the hot chocolate is the key word that we all use for instant hilarity.
Do you think you got high?
I can't tell. I just know that I really enjoyed the party, but I'm a person that really enjoys just about everything.
Yeah, you sound like that, Mary.
I like
that about your energy. I think it's extremely contagious in the best way. So I would say definitely if you choose to, you know, listen to this episode, first of all, just a warning, we got off to kind of a rough start. I was having some vocal issues. Andrew's dealing with a bit of a cold. So you might even want to skip through the first 15 minutes, skip right to your part. But then after that, if you do want, I mean, you have a very busy life. If you want to just be our special correspondent, our special newsletter correspondent, maybe we can check in with you periodically and hear how your to-do lists are doing and how your theory of resistivity is going and no crime in rhyming and all that stuff. And it's kind of fun, the idea that you occupy this weird niche of our TBTL customer base.
Weird niche. That's exactly what I'm all about.
Great.
And I live in Phoenix, and the store is open. And if you guys ever come to Phoenix, you have to come visit me.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, great. Well, Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And thanks for being part of the TBTL audience in your own special way.
Thank you both for expanding the creativity of the world, because we all know that creativity is what's going to save us all.
Thanks, Mary. It was really nice to meet you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mary. Talk
to
you soon.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was wonderful.
Well, I have a new favorite human being. But I mean,
that
honestly,
so
now
you could
hear it in my voice. As like you could probably hear me, the messaging changing for me from being like, you know, why don't you listen to TBTL, to being like, please don't listen to TBTL.
Yeah, let's preserve this relationship. Let's keep the relationship
pure.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, we have nowhere to go but down in Mary's experience, because she loves, and rightfully so, by the way, Andrew. I mean that, all joking aside. The newsletter is so good. When I read the newsletter, I see what TBTL could be if I was willing to put in actual work.
I honestly, and I mean, just in case the listeners think this is just kind of a bit or a spoof, I mean, it's definitely not. Like, when I saw Mary's comment, I slacked at her. Well, you do. Well, you don't slack at somebody. Mm-hmm. You slack with somebody. No, but I asked her if she'd like to be on the show, but I had never heard her voice before. We had never talked before in setting this up. We'd only send kind of text type of messages. I had no idea she was going to talk about the newsletter in such glowing terms. I understand if other listeners think that I set that up, like maybe I'm related to Mary and I just wanted to have somebody on the show to boost those newsletter numbers. But I promise you that's not the case.
That was great. That went so much better than I was expecting. You know what went worse than people were expecting, Andrew? The rollout of Disney Plus.
Wow. Let's just stop and enjoy that. Let's just enjoy that segue for a moment.
Quality segue. I'm sad Mary will never hear it as a non-listener to the show. If you watched the football game on Monday night, it was just full of the Mandalorian moments. Like, there was Scott Van Pelt was rolling out the like exclusive trailer for it, and I'm so bad with details of media.
Star Wars,
I didn't even right. Yeah, right, but I just thought it was a new Star Wars movie. I was like, okay, but actually it's a TV show on this new Disney streaming platform called Disney Plus.
I didn't realize
so that's
that
why
either.
It's okay. That's why it's been in like heavy duty promotional rotation. By the way, I don't know how close you were paying attention, but Werner Herzog is in this Mandalorian?
No, like, I didn't see it because the big commercial was just like just getting started when Genevieve and I decided we were going to run across the street to go to the bar. So I saw that there was, when you said a moment ago the Mandalorian moment, I thought you were like talking about some sort of philosophical like thesis mm-hmm. or something that you were just
sure.
dropping in here, and I was supposed to know what was
We've
going
reached
on.
A real Mandalorian moment as a society.
Yeah.
This is an inflection point where in – no. Yeah, no, it's this TV show. It's based on the Star Wars – it's somebody who looks like Boba Fett, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't really – I thought they were Boba Fett when I saw the trailer. But then when I read one of these reviews, they said a Boba Fett-esque bounty hunter.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if they're just trying to be coy or not spoil it or what. But it's kind of funny because I'm watching the trailer and this bounty hunter Boba Fett-looking character goes into a crummy space bar. Who knew so much of Star Wars was going to unfold in crummy space bars and also in boring congressional Galactic Senate. Mm-hmm. It's like the two places that are the backdrop for half the stuff that's happening. But it's a classic Star Warsian kind of a thing where there's some rough customers and they don't take to the bounty hunter, and it's one of those he doesn't like you, I don't like mm-hmm. you kind of mm-hmm. moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the bounty hunter kicks some major A, and that's kind of what happens. But at a certain point midway through the trailer, there's somebody talking, and I'm like, are they doing a Werner Herzog impression? No, Werner Herzog's apparently the bad guy in The Mandalorian. But I can't hear Werner Herzog and, you know, like, not think he's just talking about a chicken. The enormity of the flat heads.
Right.
Like, everything I hear Werner Herzog say is both so serious and so unintentionally comical.
Yes, yes.
That I can't take him seriously as I am the bad guy in this Star Wars universe. Also, parking at Trader Joe's is a nightmare from which one never wakes.
Like, right.
The Werner Herzog's voice has been so hijacked and moved into the comic for me that I can't take him. I mean, I found it charming, but also like kind of unintentionally funny.
Well, I just saw him in, like, he's been, I'm trying to figure out if he's been popping up more and more in movies at this later stage of his career, or if I just didn't notice him, although it's hard not to notice him. I'm scrolling through here now because I was just watching something the other day. Oh, he's actually, oh, he's in an episode of Parks and Recreation. I don't know, Genevieve had some movie on the other day, and I was just like, what, he's just acting? Like, that's it? He's just in this movie just to be a character? While we're on the topic, only because I don't really play this anymore, because I don't really have an excuse to, can we just take a moment and play the parody Werner Herzog Where's Waldo, and then I'll let you go on with your Disney.
Hidden somewhere in this noisy, chaotic morass of society is our fellow traveler, Waldo. A man unstuck from place and time, he travels the world on foot. His only lifeline to his friends and family, a litany of dreary picture postcards sent from arbitrary locations the world over. His postcards do nothing to convey the humanity, the madness of Waldo's adventures. For that, V must go find him.
Okay, it goes on from there, but I just wanted a little taste of that. That's from the internet.
So Disney, after all this hype, they rolled out this Disney Plus thing, and it just basically was just nonstop crashed. Everybody who tried to go to it was greeted with a frowning character from the movie Wreck-It Ralph, paired with a network error message, or Mickey Mouse stranded in space. Those were... I mean, and basically the way that they're spinning it is, and they may not be wrong, is Disney is basically saying, look, we just had so much interest in this that we could not, you know, we could not serve all of the interest in this. You crashed the system. We're a victim of our own success here, which is I guess a smart way to frame something like this. But it just sounds like basically they did not have their back end, sort of web architecture or whatever you call it, infrastructure, really ready to go for all of the demand it was going to have.
Mm-hmm. I had only seen a couple of headlines on this, and I didn't know to what degree it was a disaster. I wonder if also people being frustrated with this are also, there's a little bit of this nagging feeling about being frustrated with the Disney Plus thing. Maybe I'm biased on it, and I haven't been following it closely, but it seems like a fun new, you know, outlet for content, but it's also like kind of the face of everything that this just giant corporation has grabbed up, has gobbled up, and now it's right. All behind this paywall.
Exactly. And in fact, this is something that our friend the Stubot was tweeting about. He retweeted someone who has done a side-by-side screen cap. All the classic Simpsons episodes that are on Disney Plus, speaking of Disney Plus absorbing all content mm-hmm. into its universe, they are cropped in widescreen format, which means you miss out on tons of great visual jokes. Like, this person, Tristan Cooper, who wrote this tweet, has a side-by-side, like the fact that Duff Light and Duff Dry all uh-huh. come from the same tube.
I can picture that. Yep.
You know, so the visual joke being that this one tube is feeding all three kinds of this Duff beer because it's all the same thing. And then you look at the new version, the one that Disney is, you know, reformatted, and you can't tell the joke because they've cropped out the top pipe. It's like, that's a small thing, but it just feels like that's exactly why this is something that I would be kind of instinctively not very into. Another thing that was kind of funny, I have to give them credit for, this is also something I saw Stu retweeting. Somebody is tweeting at Disney Plus, is there a problem with Star Wars A New Hope? Could not access this morning. And then Disney Plus, the actual corporate account, responding, we are sorry, due to ongoing problems online, Star Wars content is no longer available for our male fans. Like, you got to give them credit
for
going
for it. I
got to
say, I
kind of
like that. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Me too. Like, you know, that's kind of like, it's, oh, but you know what? I just realized something. I think that's a parody account.
Oh,
because I just
okay.
went to it.
I was going to say, that's Disney Plus, bold.
It's a picture of the Disney Plus, this fake, which is Get Disney Plus, which now, of course, I'm realizing is a fake.
Okay.
It's the whatever you call it, the background photo when you go to the Twitter page is Mickey Mouse from, like, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, kind of with his arms spread out and kind of his eyes crossed. And then there's a blurred out area where his Mickey Mouse genitalia would be.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that may not be the real Disney Plus account.
Are you sure, though? I mean, it could be. You know, it's 2019. People aren't as prude as they used to be, or prudish. Mm-hmm. I am so glad that you realized that this was a parody account on the show.
Before we got too far down
exactly.
that rabbit hole.
Yes, right. Because that would be driving me crazy. We'd get a million emails, and I'd want to rush to issue a special edition of TBTL to correct it between episodes.
They've done this, and I think I saw this meme going around a week ago, which means it's ancient history now. But somebody was doing something online where they were taking movie stills and then kind of writing new, I guess, taglines for the movie. Mm-hmm. And so this one is a picture of Turner and Hooch. So Tom Hanks and then the dog, Hooch. And the dog is staring at Tom kind of expectantly. And it says Disney. And then in like a very Disney-ish font, it's just called, If This Works, I'm Leaving My Wife, 1989. Which is just like the weird. The joke works better if you're looking at it. Mm-hmm. But basically this Disney Plus account is just full of all of these kind of repurposed Mimi Burns on the whole Disney universe.
Right. Honey, I Slightly Shrunk Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro's tiny. I'm just scrolling through these now.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the latest on Disney Plus. It's, you know, I'm sure they'll probably already have it working even as you're hearing this, but did not have the hottest start of all time. I have to say, I don't know. There's a reason why I don't understand who has what exclusive content, whether it's Netflix, Hulu, this thing. This is big because they have Marvel and Pixar. And I'm a simple man. This is why I just watch Forensic Files and apparently now reruns of The Simpsons, which I guess will be behind this firewall.
Actually, can I interrupt you for 1 second there? Yeah, does this mean that it's going, is The Simpsons going to be going away from FXX? Because I thought they had that brilliant thing of any Simpsons at any time, which I have on demand as a cable subscriber. And I'm not that big of a Simpsons fan, or I should say you're a bigger Simpsons fan, but I always found it very comforting knowing that at any time of day, if I just don't want to think about what to put on, I would just dial up a Simpsons. I mean, as of like, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, just dial up a Simpsons and just let it run for a while. Like, if nothing else, it's a very comforting feeling. I'll be sad if that goes away.
Well, as of yesterday, oddly enough, when I was watching The Simpsons on demand, which is not something I've done in years, I was getting, I don't know what season they're on, but I was like season 31 or something, mm-hmm. which I assume is fairly recent. So maybe that all changes soon. I'm not really sure. But I guess, yeah, that's my larger point. I just don't understand who has the rights to what content. And there's very little content I care about enough that I'm willing to move platforms for it, mm-hmm. other than sports. But like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just the way of the world. It's not such a big deal for me. I'm finding myself, I feel like, on a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times I'm finding myself less adventurous about my viewing than ever before because of how many more options there are. And the way my brain responds to the myriad and almost unlimited options is to engage less with the unknown. Now, every once in a while, something breaks through. I got really into Baskets. I will tell you this, though. I was on the flight home flight to Portland the other day. And the woman next to me, who was clearly very brilliant, she worked at Nike, I didn't even tell you. Oh, I told you via text. I didn't tell you on the show that I was sitting in front of Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of funny. You had a very strong spoof.
Thank you.
I asked you I should lean my chair back into him to give him something to write about. And you said, lean it back 10,000 times. That's a solid, solid joke.
I got it. I almost brought that up. I'm not usually patting my own back at my text messages, but I wanted to make sure you saw that because I also thought that was a decent spoof.
Very decent spoof. So anyway, but on that flight, the woman next to me, she's obviously brilliant. And we were talking for part of the flight, and then I got back to my work, and then I look over, and she's just watching Friends on, like, her iPad, and I was just like, I don't know why that made me so sad. Like, I watch a lot of, like, mindless programming. Like, look, me watching HGTV House Hunters or something, I'm not challenging my brain with that. But there's something about when someone's watching Friends that makes me feel sad. Like, you've really just settled at this point. You've settled for the lowest level of entertainment other than TBTL. You've settled for the lowest level of entertainment out there.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Friends has an amazing newsletter. I don't know if you heard about that.
Mary's big into that.
I kind of feel the same way, but with a caveat. And I realized that, like, you know, it was probably Monday's show. Like, I feel like there were five things in a row where I bent over backwards to not offend anybody. And I don't know. I know that's kind of annoying to listen to sometimes, but it is kind of... It comes from a real place. Like, I really am. I'm at a phase in my life. I think I just used to be – I grew up in a very judgmental generation and kind of a judgmental family, frankly, that I realize now. And when I see other people being very judgmental, whether I agree with them or not, like, it just is kind of a bad look. And so yeah. I truly do believe that people should do what makes them happy. Like, I want to make fun of Billy Joel a little bit, but I also legit don't want to make anybody feel bad for liking Billy Joel. And kind of the same thing with the whole Friends thing. Like, Friends, it seems as big now as it was in the 90s, certainly, you know, enjoying a renaissance, and they just had their anniversary. Everybody was talking about it, and it is still one of the most sought-after on-demand shows. Now, I never liked Friends. I always thought it was stupid. I still think it's a very stupid show, but I also watch some very stupid shows that are just relaxing to me. And I just sort of feel like if you're on a plane... Everybody's doing whatever they have to do just for a little escapism. Like, sometimes you want to read the Malcolm Gladwell book that you brought. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I brought this Malcolm Gladwell book, but I'm going to use it to prop up my phone while I watch Friends. Like, that one isn't for me, but I really get it. And I think a lot of people do, especially with that show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm taking on, like, there's a reason, I guess, why it is constantly the most valuable show that these streaming services are, like, bidding for. Because I think for a lot of people, it is working for their brain the way that, you know, HGTV is working for my brain. And they want to turn their brain off, and they like watching Friends, and it's comforting. And I don't want to make anyone feel bad about that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it kind of goes back to something we were talking about. Oh, the music thing with Wynn the other day, which was like, I just didn't grow up with Billy Joel, so Billy Joel seems silly to me. But I have, you might even say silly Joel, but...
You might.
I have my version of that I love, and it just comes down to which version of this thing worked for me or was in my life at a certain time and which one isn't. And that's pretty much the extent of it. So I'm not trying to judge anyone who likes Friends, but I just don't go back and watch... That's not a show that I would go back and watch. Meanwhile, I kind of probably would rewatch some Seinfeld.
I do that a lot.
The Seinfeld
Hulu
that I've caught, I think it holds up okay. But yeah, I mean, my larger point, I guess, to this Disney stuff is just I am finding my world to be, and this is probably not good, by the way. This is not a good indication of how I'm going to kind of deal with aging and adult, or, you know, middle adult and then elderly adult life. But I am finding that my world gets to some degree slightly more myopic with the more options that exist. I sort of fall. Like, I pretty much watch Chris Hayes every day. I pretty much watch Dateline NBC. I pretty much watch HGTV and Frontline and sports constantly. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's my world. And all these new things that come out, like, I tried to get into Succession. Actually, I was enjoying Succession. I watched, like, the first episode of it, and I could kind of see the appeal. Although, on the other hand, it's like, I don't know. Do we need another show about rich white people? But I'm mostly just sad that I am not more adventurous than I am, having access to most of these things that are getting created.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things that go along with aging, I'm probably the same way, but it doesn't bother me all that much. I think you've always been a little bit more of a voracious media consumer than me, and of course being. You know, especially back during the early days of TBTL, I know you guys were, like, watching a lot of, like, new shows as the, like, even reality TV stuff. Didn't you guys, like, review reality TV stuff? I think Jen might have been more into it. And you guys like to keep your finger in the pulse of society a lot more. And I just was never really interested in watching that kind of stuff, even if the rest of the world is talking about it. Like, I've always easily opted out of things. I did not see Jurassic Park until about 4 years ago, or no, probably probably like 5 years ago when they brought it back for the IMAX. First time I saw it, I didn't know what happened in that movie. Now, I didn't bandy that about as a personality trait. It was just a thing, but it was unusual back in the 90s because everybody saw Jurassic Park. It was huge. It was just like there was a time when if I mentioned casually I've never seen Jurassic Park, people were like, what? How could you have not seen it? It's like, it just doesn't look like it appeals to me, and I'm fine opting out of it. Whereas I think you, which has helped probably get you to where you are today as far as a media personality, I think you've always been a little bit more interested in what people are consuming, even if it's not necessarily up your alley.
Kind of, but it has to come into my life in a certain way. Like TikTok is not for me, but I know about TikTok because I understand its impact on the culture, and funny things will show up in my Twitter feed that start, they're like watermarked as TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I've seen none of the Avengers movies. I've seen none of the Marvel. Like, I just don't, I'm not interested in that stuff. And that's arguably like the biggest stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of bad. Like, yeah, I do think this show, Jen was much better than me at, she treated media almost like it was her job too, I guess, because arguably it was. So she was like really consuming musicals and, you know, every award show she was had an interesting take on. And when something came out, it was like she sort of, if it was going to be in the culture, she felt like she needed to consume it to know what it was about. I don't have that feeling, and mm-hmm. you don't have that feeling, which is why the show has evolved more into talking to TBTL virgins about phenomenal GIFs rather than like talking about the latest movie that's, you know, making money at the box office. But I'm actually fine with that because at the end of all of this, all any of us can really do is just be interested in whatever it is that strikes our interest. And that's kind of back to your point about I don't want to be too dismissive of people that want to watch Friends to relax because that's just what works for them.
Yeah.
For me, it's some other BS. In fact, I would say watching a show about someone losing their life as a form of entertainment is a much less defensible thing than watching a show where Ross and Rachel are just trying to get their relationship back on track.
Oh, I thought you were describing Friends. Again, I didn't watch much of it, so I don't really know what goes on in that show. I thought that's not a show about hospice care.
No, it's not, it turns out.
No.
Whoa, wrong one.
I got excited. I thought, what's the TBTL breaking news? All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
All right, you got any V-mails or emails that you'd like to share?
Sure, yeah, let me share this one. This is odd. This just came into the voicemail box.
Oh, wait, so would you say it's basically breaking news?
TBTL.
Now I'm playing it for the right reasons.
This came into the voicemail box several weeks ago, and I don't think it's in reaction to anything that we talked about recently, but it also ties into a voicemail that we got years ago. So take a listen to this.
What?
Here.
Hey, dummies. Listener Mike in Sacramento. I got to make this quick, but I got my somebody in my family got my 10-month-old daughter a baby doll recently, and I had to have you hear what the laugh sounds like, so I took out the little laugh speaker because it's so creepy. She loves it, but you have to hear this. So here it is.
Oh,
Now, as far as you know, that's not related to anything we've talked about in the past several weeks, is it? This is just
not
somebody
that I remember.
Heard this weird sound and thought, oh, the boys will enjoy this. Let me just share it, which I love that kind of voicemail, by the way. Just like apropos of nothing, as we like to say, just think of us. And that's always a nice feeling. But do you remember a while back? I'm going to say I feel like I was still in Wallingford. So I feel like this was a couple of years ago. We did get into a conversation for some reason about creepy doll sounds. And we got a voicemail from listener Danielle, who I don't think I have her whole voicemail here, but I isolated the scary baby sound that she sent in, and I think it's the same one. I think that's the same sound that Mike sent
in.
That adds to the creepiness of it. Why
is it weird that I'm not creeped out by that? Maybe because here's why. We have played babies, real alive human babies, laughing. Mm-hmm. And I guess what would make that creepy is that it's in a doll. Not like it's like there's something about it. I guess if I was looking at a doll that was making that sound, it might wig me out. But when I hear it, I just think, oh, there's a cute baby making a sound.
Oh, really? It doesn't sound like a cute baby to me. It sounds kind of horrifying to me. Yeah. Yeah, that's the wrong one. I was going to play the baby.
That sounded
again.
Horrifying. Okay.
I think the echo, it's got an echo sound to it, so it sounds like it's a baby at the bottom of a well or something. Not to be too dark.
Well, where do you keep your babies?
Oh, wait. Luke, that's not a baby hole. That's a well, my friend.
Oh, dang it. We got somebody put a sign up. I thought that was a baby hole.
Hey, get away from the baby hole. How about this? Let me play one voicemail from a listener.
We got to make sure we don't go to the baby hole too many times on this show.
Yeah, I think we do.
Listeners are getting tired of it.
I think we do. This is from Stephanie.
Hi, Luke and Andrew. It is Stephanie from Portland, Oregon. I was listening to Monday's show, and I'm sure you've gotten many voicemails about this. I was really upset when Luke mentioned about his green bin where he puts his yard waste, that he puts the dog poop in it as long as it's in a compostable bag. I think the rules are different in different counties, but I tried searching and telling him what the rules are. But typically you cannot put dog poop or any kind of poop. Animal waste is the better way to say it. You're not supposed to put animal waste in those green bins. That's definitely what the rule is in Portland. So if I were you, I would call and do some more investigation about that. Because for us, it's yard waste, food scraps, and like pizza boxes can go in there, but definitely no animal poop. All right. Thank you guys. Hope you're having a good day.
I'll jump in here and say that I that is true. Certainly here in Seattle, and I confirmed it, that's the Seattle rule. And I'm pretty sure it's a universal rule because of disease. Even though it's compost and it's going into, public areas.
Rudy, do you have butt disease?
They can't have waste in there.
Let me just ask the dog. Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. Yeah. Rudy, do you have any diseases that your poop would transmit? She says no.
Oh. There's Rudy's answer right there.
Yeah, that's Rudy.
Yeah,
that's where they got that
she
from.
Sounds fine.
Oh, okay, I'll stop doing that. Here was what I thought. I was like, this is, I figured it was it's all biodegradable. I will throw it in a bag. I'll put the bags of poop in another bag and put that in the garbage, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't even notice that you said that. And also, it didn't ring any bells for me or it didn't raise any alarms. But we did not get any other voicemails about that or emails about that. Hmm. So thanks for sending that in.
Okay, well, then that's news to me and I'll stop doing that.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you want to leave it there for today? Perfect. That was Mary is just so great. Can she be on every show?
I would love that to be a semi-regular segment. Just, expanding our universe with listener Mary.
Yeah.
Where we just check in. Honestly, just have her read through her to-do list.
I know.
Like every couple months we call up, she reads through her to-do list and we just chat and then we say goodbye, check back in with her in a couple months.
Yes, I've already even sent her a note earlier during this show saying that we'd like to have her back on again soon. So watch this space, as my friend Luke Burbank will sometimes say.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay, I guess that's it then. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the program. Tomorrow, I will be checking in from Virginia. We're doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in Richmond, but I'm actually not staying in Richmond. I'm staying in by the airport in D.C. because I have to do this crazy thing where I land and then we do the show and then I drive down there, do Wait, Wait, and then drive back to the airport and then get up at O'Dark 30. And hopefully I'm able to fly on Friday from Virginia to Portland by way of L.A. and hopefully get there in one piece because and on time because it's like there's this cold snap coming and all the flights are going to be crazy. So I would recommend if you go to the Livewire show on Friday night at the Alberta Rose Theater with Mo Rocca and Jimmy Harad and others, be prepared to host because I may not be able to get there.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if that's a deterrent or the opposite of a deterrent to people.
We'll figure out. We'll find out together on Friday night if I actually make it or don't make it. So, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.